Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, there's a post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. It's Monday evening. In fact, it's later than normal because I was tied up. But Edwin is with me. Hello, Edwin.
Martin, had to get out of bed to do the show. What's going on?
Sorry about that. I've had one hell of a day with one another. But now you've got two stop signs today. What's going on?
Just take it easy. Just go slow. Just go slow is the key, Martin. Just stop, and just refrain from getting emotional and just stop, smell the roses for a bit before you lift your hand up. But there's all sorts of stuff happening all around the world, Martin. I mean, they're calling Twitter, demise. It's a 50-50 call, apparently, according to some news sources that Twitter will be down. But look, on the other side of that coin is we've got 45. This is rant number 45, and 45 is being reinstated as well. What coincidence?
It is, isn't it? It's amazing. Hey, we've been doing this for a little while now, isn't it? So doesn't time fly when you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, no, I can't wait until the number 45 comes back on Twitter and starts creating all sorts of fireworks as well, as you and I have over the years. So, but, things are going to get more colourful, and things are going to get more, more complicated in 2023. But, talking about 45 and politics, Martin, I was talking to your boy, John Adams, a few days ago, and apparently you guys ran a poll on who would be the preferred Prime Minister, John Adams or Robbie Barwick. Right?
Wasn't it very interesting? That was my live show a couple of weeks ago, which was it was quite funny. I'm afraid that Mr. Adams won.
Well, look, you've got to run another poll, and the poll's got to be who would make the best. am I allowed to say it? I'll just say it anyway. You could make the best emperor of Australia.
Yeah.
Robbie Barwick.
Oh, careful there. Careful. But, politics is everywhere. I mean, look at this one then for politics, eh?
I hear on the grapevine, 3% wage rise for the for public servants. They tell me, I think Dusty heard it somewhere, that there's going to be a 10% wage rise for politicians. And they're wanting to state 8,000 more public servants or something to make life go a little bit, to ease the congestion that we're apparently facing. Is that true, or is that just lies from dust?
It makes you wonder. I'll tell you what's interesting is if you look at the last wage rise data from the ABS, in fact, the wage rise in the public sector was a lot lower than the wage rise in the private sector. Right. So whilst the politicians might be getting a big wage rise, many public servants up and down the country are not. They're going backwards at a faster rate of knots. Remember that inflation is, probably 7 or 8% now. So the inflation rate is way higher than the wages growth. So it's crazy, crazy.
Look, it is. And this is one of the things that, this brings a lot of conversation I was having with my son over the weekend, as helping him out with the renovation of his house, and it was one of the things talking about. It's his first home, and he wants to borrow against that to get a better home, blah blah blah. But I was trying to talk to him about as to thinking seriously as to what was going to, what could potentially happen in the future. He's only young. Obviously toying with the idea of holding two mortgages. Turning this one into an investment property, his first home into an investment property, and then borrowing against it and getting a bigger home with him and his partner, because now they're thinking about our family. But the interest, what came to mind and the conversation centered around this whole area is that the industry that he's in the building industry, but a lot of his friends are in the IT industry. And we just started talking about the potential dangers and ramifications of holding two two jobs with no certainty moving forward into 2023. And this is what you and I have been saying for, you know, for a very long time and trying to call the years. And you know, we've said that, you know, 2023 is going to be, you know, 2022 was a shit show, but 2023 could end up being greater than you know, in terms of pain for a lot of people than 2022. So 2023, I guess I was saying to him, he's got to be careful. You know, you've got to be careful. You know, holding two mortgages, you may feel that your job is secure. You know, he's not into side hustles like his father is. And so, you know, it's sort of like, you know, go easy type of attitude with a lot of the young people, I guess. And, you know, and I was just sort of a little bit taken aback by the, you know, one, the urgency that they felt that they needed to get a better home, a bigger home. It's two, I'm not just saying that he's like that, but I'm just saying overall that the young people just want to jump into a bigger mortgage, like everything's going to be okay.
Yep.
Post 2022, yeah, everything's over. I'm of the opinion that the shit's still yet to be broken before it could get better.
Well, it's interesting because there were a couple of articles today arguing that the RBA was pretty much done with raising rates and rates are coming down next year and great time to buy, you know, and, you know, Queensland is the place to buy, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, well, they're a million miles from where things are. The RBA hasn't finished lifting rates. You know, Westpac is still saying something like 3.85% will be the peak rate through into next year. And people haven't understood. Those rate rises that are flowing through haven't yet hit yet. You know, they're 2 or 3 months behind. And we've still got all those fixed rate resets through next year. So anybody who thinks that the party is about to restart, I think, is absolutely missing the point. But of course, the mainstream media and those aligned to the property sector in particular are, well, they're talking the book, aren't they?
Well, they are. But the thing is, on the other side of that coin also, Martin, is the fact that we've had, can't they see we've had IT platforms in America alone lose something like 30,000 jobs, and these are software engineers of, you know, high caliber. One would think. I mean, Silicon Valley is just absolutely being rattled. Now, word on the street with contacts that I have here in Google, in senior management roles here with Google, they're talking about potentially, you know, these sort of layoffs could, you know, will happen here as well. So there's so much uncertainty. We're going to talk about that a bit later on in one of the segments. I'm going to, you know, show a slide as to some of the you know, what's happening with the private sector and how there's such a rise and rise of receivership, appointments of controllers in bigger firms in order to sort of, you know, put a stop to how much money they've been hemorrhaging because of costs and not being able to fulfill orders because of supply chain issues. I mean, one of the things, look, you've got to give it to Musk. On the one hand, you've got Tesla is absolutely hemorrhaging and not being able to provide the vehicles that have been paid for in advance, but because China are on a standstill. But yet is creating this, you know, is creating this controversy, and is creating this, like taking the minds away from people to the other side, which is Twitter, and it's creating all these shenanigans there. But I think the real story is with Muskonomics, is the fact that Tesla is in a lot of trouble. You've got similar scenario has been played out by different organisations and institutions here in Australia, and also obviously in China, you know, trying to distract us from what is really happening in real terms that's going to affect us as individuals, as consumers, as property buyers, as property renters, and the like. But yet we're distracted by 45 coming back on the platform. We're distracted by, what's happening with Twitter. Who else is going to be, who's going to be deplatformed or come back onto Twitter and all this sort of stuff. We've been distracted. This is what I was saying to my son. Don't be distracted by the noise or the music to an extent. The tunes that have been played out there. You got to sift through all that and look at where you think you're going to be in 2, 3, 4 years' time, and can you hold and sustain, 2 mortgages? So these are the things that I mean, obviously you and I think about, but some people just get distracted. I can't put any other way, Martin. But as you said, the RBA being distracted, and these economists are being distracted, and they talk more about politics than they do about economics. And the welfare of the people, and politicians, even politicians have been distracted by BS all over the place, and popularity spins and popularity contests, and not focusing on the real needs of the people, the real needs of the rental population that are absolutely facing such turmoil, and with these new floods in parks or Forbes and all these areas around it. I mean, it's just puts more pressure on the rental market.
Now, it's definitely a concern. And, of course, the floods are now having a significant toll on price of vegetables and other farm products. There was some horrible stories of cows still having to be milked, but then they just tipped the milk back into the river again because they've got nowhere else to put it. It is pretty horrendous. So wherever you look, if you just look over the rim, you can see lots of issues there. And by the way, you can also look over to China and you can see the same issues, right? There's so much going off over there. What with the what's it called? The medium-sized mortgage investment corporation, the MIC. What on earth is going on?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, and then you've got. You've got the fake data, no real data. What's happening with this? Okay, so with this, with what you've got up there. So this is with what they're talking about. This is a tweet that I got from Ron Butler, and he's talking about mortgages over in Canada. Basically, the people that are holding, mainly Chinese investors that are holding property over there. Obviously, the rates aren't being paid. What we would classify as being strata levies. But I'll also go a little bit further, Martin. And what about here? How is that going to affect us here if there's lockdowns in the main cities of China now, and really going hell for leather on that, and locking people down and taking them away and locking entire buildings down? I mean, we're back to the beginning of 2020 sort of stuff with what's happening over there in China. Yep. Now, how does that affect us? As we've talked about over and over again, as recent as last week and the week before, is that supply chain issues are only going to get worse. And if we think that things are going to change or get better, as I said, no, they're going to get, things have got to really break before they get better. But then we've also got to look at the psychology or the philosophy behind what Xi Jinping's trying to do there in China. And I've said, he's already talking about the Commonwealth. He's already talking about universal wealth, and those that have are meant to be sharing with the have-nots and so forth. So he's totally poles apart from what the mainstream media is saying is going to happen, and so forth. But with this, obviously, now there's the lockdowns with the people, but there will also be what I call knockouts. In other words, they're locked out from accessing bank accounts. They're locked out from, and if they can't access bank accounts, and if they can't get a hold of money over there, let alone send money over here. So we've got the real estate industry here has got some major issues moving forward over the next 3 to 6 months. I'm thinking about all the properties that got bought off the plan and are due to completion and are due to settle. They're certainly not going to settle because the money is just not flowing out of China. And this brings to light also this Ron Butler's tweet in terms of the growth in repossessions there in Canada of apartments. Are we going to see that is that likelihood going to happen here as well in Australia? I would think so. It'll take a bit longer, but not so much with meeting the cost of the strata levies, but I'm thinking more in the apartment sector, more in terms of the special levies that have been raised, yeah, by 60% of high-rise development around Sydney. And these are hefty, and these are to do the ramification work, as you know, to do with fire ordinances, to do with flammable cladding, to do with all the issues that have been going on and that being reported on of late. And so this is where it's really going to, where there's going to be issues, because obviously the rents are going to cover, especially they may cover the strata levies, they may cover the and that's if the apartments are going to be rented, are being rented. If they're not, well, there's more pain. So this highlights all that of what's happening there in China. And then of course you've got the shenanigans that's going on now with reports to the with the consumer side of things, and they've got the 11th of the 11th sale, which is the equivalent of our Black Friday sale. And I mean, look, there are some reports. I don't know whether it's true, whether it's not. I mean, this is just chatter over WeChat, and some are reporting, potentially that could almost be halved. I mean, that's not. This is just hearsay, but the real data hasn't been released. Some are saying, some pundits are saying, oh, the data's a lot better. People are spending, but we're sort of thinking, how are they spending if they're being locked up, if they're being, whole entire communities are being locked up in massive complexes with no food or water for the last 12, 13 days? And you sort of, who wants to spend? Who can spend? People can't even get out of the complexes, the industrial complexes, which hold the workers, to buy food, let alone to breathe. I mean, who's buying it? I mean, this is all the stuff, all the shenanigans that's going on globally.
Yeah, and there's one other little one, isn't there? The youth unemployment in China just seemed to be rising very significantly.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, it was around 15-16%.
Yeah.
And now the latest figures, and these are figures. I asked them to send me a screenshot to put up, and I didn't get it. I'll share it on Twitter and I'll tag you on it. Currently it's running at about 25-26% youth unemployment. And that's huge. That's absolutely huge, Martin, in terms of this is the what would you call it, the official unofficial figure. So how much broader it really is it, I mean, with everything else. There's a lot of pain. One thing for sure, there's a lot of pain. But look, let's not be gloomy. I mean, our great leader, shook hands with Xi Jinping over the weekend, didn't he? And all of a sudden, I'm hearing the scallop makers. I'm hearing the exporters of crayfish and the vino, suppliers are praising the meeting because they think they're going to be selling, it's going to be back to normal, back before, the issues that we had with the previous, I've even forgotten his name, with the previous El Supremo leader that we had, with the issues there. And apparently they're cheering and saying, oh, yeah, the relationship's thawing and things could get better. I'm sort of thinking, who the hell, if they can't even buy bread and a dumpling, let alone they're going to be buying crayfish and wine, seriously?
Yeah, no, that's a very good, very, very good point. And there's another interesting little development in the local WeChat world, right? Because old refinancing is the game, isn't it, at the minute?
It's disturbing, isn't it? I mean, the motherland is in a lot of trouble in the world of kaka, and the local chatterers here are going in hell for leather and organising and ordering bank valuations all over the place. But look, I have seen a lot more, as I call it, the Chinese syndicates when I do my when I decide to, if I do report on the Saturday auctions that I attend and I either participating in or just going in there for a look see to see what's going on. But I have seen the Chinese syndicates out in force, Martin. Mm. So look, yeah, it is what it is. But then, yeah, you and I know, crypto's pretty much in the toilet. Don't stay me, Kryptonians, but that's a general thought that the witch hat chatterers have. The geopolitical nature, is not too good, so therefore they're staying out of the share market. What else is there is what they're saying. What else is there that they could park, and they definitely don't want to leave the money in the bank because they don't know what the bank's going to do with it, and the Australian dollar is losing value, and if you're in Cooper Peter, you're even worse off. So therefore they've got to put the money somewhere. They can't put it in Opals, Martin, but they can put it in they want to put it in homes because they know how to break that rental ceiling, as I've been talking about over and over again. This is one of the things that they do know, and unfortunately, whether it could be good, bad, or ugly, they get away with it. But on the other side of on the other hand, they are providing some sort of residence and accommodation to people that otherwise would be sleeping in vans, in the cars, or in tents in Hyde Park.
Absolutely. Well, and it's interesting because more broadly, if you look at the refinancing statistics, they're still very strong. But in my surveys, a lot of people who are refinancing are still pulling equity out of the property to pay off debts elsewhere, buy now, pay later debts or credit card debts or other things, or putting money to one side for other purposes later. But it's interesting they're doing that when the property prices are still sort of wobbling down, which means presumably they're eating up their own equity.
Well, yeah, look, one would think that is the case. I mean, that would have, it would be interesting if you did on your survey. Are you allowed to, go a little bit deeper in terms of asking what nationality people are in your surveys?
It's quite difficult to ask that type of question in the survey and still get people to respond. There are areas of personal data that people are quite coy about. So it's probably not one that I can add. I mean, I do add other questions in my surveys, but I'm not sure that that's one I can go there with.
Can you ask it this way, Martin? Say, do you use WeChat and do you chatter and are you refinancing?
Now, that's actually interesting. There's no reason why we couldn't ask about a particular app. That's a good thought. I will, I'll take that on notice.
See, past my bedtime, Martin, and that old, those couple of brain cells are churning away there.
Yeah, those two brain cells came out for a bit of a party. Well done. Hang on to them. Well, let's move on to the next topic because, of course, there's a lot to talk about with, shenanigans with auctions again.
Look, I saw and I said we have to talk about it tonight, Martin. I mean, this is deja vu, Valentine's Day auction over in Blacktown, 2015, I think it was, and the $1 auction. I mean, this is it. This is how they're advertising it. This is a Channel 9 report. Nine properties on the same northern Sydney street are all up for auction on the same day. A mega sale that could fetch more than $12 million. I think that's a bit of underquoting there from Channel 9, $12 million. Well, yeah, more like $18 to $20 million. It's interesting, and I watched the clip of that report, and the reporter says that the reserve, wait for it, is $1 on each property, Martin. Can you believe that? So I'm going to attend the auction. You know what? I'm going to attend the auction for two reasons. One, this auction is going to be held on my birthday, the 1st of December, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Right? That's the first reason. I want to celebrate. I want to go all out. Because I'm going to try and buy a property for $1.50. So if the reserves are there, I want to put a bid in for $1.
I think it'd be really worth playing that card and seeing what happens. But it is interesting. But there's an interesting thought. If you've got so many properties in the same area all for sale at the time, that's clearly going to have a depressive impact on property prices in the area, surely.
Well, it will be interesting. It will be interesting. There's going to be, you know, one or two of those properties are going to go, as they say in the game, you know, they're going to go, you know, cheapest chips before people sort of think, oh, shit, you know, well, I'm going to start jumping in. So I'm going to go, I'm going to try and get one for a dollar. You know, I'm going to be there. And look, it's, for me, it's just reminiscent of it's just a marketing strategy, a marketing ploy, just reminiscent of the article that I put out 2015, Martin, and I put the tweet out. It's reminiscing of the Valentine's Day auction in 2015, and yeah, back then it's just a marketing ploy. It's deja vu. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. You just got to tweak it a little bit, you know, a little bit here and there, and booyah, you've got you've got a bit of momentum. But this, you know, you've just got to go back. You just got to do the fundamental, you know, the basics, albeit they are the it's data. Then you've got to include the, you know, the data that's online, that's available through CoreLogic and a lot of other websites there. And you got to start. You know, you can't. It's not rocket science to work out to get a general idea what the value of the property is. I mean, Paul, yeah, you don't even have to go as far as doing a lot of stuff that I myself do, my team do, in order to try and work out the true value of a property. But you can, yeah, you just press a button on a lot of these platforms, and it spits out an average price anyway. Yeah, well,
it's interesting, because those things, they sort of say, well, you know, there's a high confidence or a low confidence, and they give you a bit of a range in some cases. But fascinating, of course, that there's this guy called Edwin Almeida who wrote this article.
Yeah, that's that was. That was a rebuttal to that Valentine's Day auction. From memory, I mean, these brain cells have had a bit too much wine now. So at this time, Martin, but I remember going toe to toe about this. I think it was on LinkedIn with the head of Star Partners, and you know. Again, it was just a ploy at the time. It was just a $1 auction. But when you looked at the facts, and if you look at that article and you read it, you know, the viewers can look at that, Google it, and they'll read it. The facts were that the fellow was trying to sell the property before that so-called $1 reserve. Yeah, it was only weeks beforehand. He was trying to sell it for $560,000 to $570,000, which at that time we could advertise offers above, and in the campaign, you know, stated, you know, offers above 560 at the time. I can't remember off the top of my head what it actually sold for at the end of the day, nor did I check CoreLogic, but it was around 565, I think, off the top of my head, that it sold for. So was he really going to let it go for a dollar? I don't think so. Was he really even going to let it go for 450? I don't think so. Was he going to let it go for 550,000? No, he was never going to let it go, not even for 550,000, because only a week or two before he was trying to get offers above 560 and 570. So, but the big question for me is, Martin, is, you know, is it shenanigans? Is it a legitimate sale campaign? Is it shenanigans? And the other question is, do church people lie? I don't know. You know, it's one of those things that I've got to ponder on for the rest of the night until I fall asleep and start dreaming of angels. I don't know.
Oh, well, makes you think. I'll tell you a little story. Years ago, when I worked in the real estate industry, there was a fellow property negotiator. This was actually in the UK. And he came up with an interesting idea. He said, I'm going to advertise a free house with a frozen chicken. The frozen chicken is going to be worth, well, I don't know what the price was, but it was the price of the house, basically, right? So he sort of advertised it as a free house with a frozen chicken, a very expensive frozen chicken, right? And he got into all sorts of trouble in all the newspapers because he put this advertisement in the papers in those days. And lots of people came in and said, well, I want my free house. Here's the chicken. They turned up with a frozen chicken and tried to get the free house. So it shows you that marketing can go wrong sometimes.
Yeah, look, it can go wrong, but as I said, it would be absolutely hilarious, and it would just make my day if nobody bid above that dollar.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
That would be the test. That would be that. Yeah. That is the test.
Yeah.
Or even as I said, going back to the Blacktown sale, 230 Blacktown Road, Blacktown. Going back to that Valentine's Day auction sale. Would he have let it go? Would the owner at that time would have let that property go? Had it reached 450?
Mm.
Yeah. That is a test. As I said, even 500 would he have said would he let it go? Now, I mean, it will be interesting. I tell you what is going to be even more interesting on the day for the people that do turn up, that follow us on this channel, and they live around the area and they do turn up. Okay, I wonder how many times the auctioneer. Or auctioneers, depending if they use more than one auctioneer per house. How many times when they do that BS, going once, going twice, and let me check with the real estate agent to see if it's on. Are we on the market? Blah blah blah. How many times they're going to do that? And that tells you instinctively and automatically that the $1 or low guide, as I often calling out on the platforms on Twitter and so forth, all these undercredited, how those guides, those low guides, are bullshit. Because why, if you've met the reserve or if you've met the guide on the day, why does the auctioneer have to turn around not once but three, four, five, six times before the agent says, "Yeah, we're on the market"?
That's a great question. It's Spanish practices that really, you question, I think, quite rightly. Well, but talking about weird situations and Spanish practices, what about the Perrier effect, right? We are seeing it in spades, aren't we?
Oh, look, this is great. this is a new segment, Martin. The Perrier effect. This is it. This is it. I mean, look. Even Abbott's going. We've had a rise of Sydney clearance rates have risen. Even according to his numbers, they've gone up. But the doc's numbers have gone up by at least 10%. I mean, I called it last week. I put it on Twitter. I said the Perrier effect. And I actually tweeted out and tagged him on it. Thank you, Dom. The sellers, the vendors of Sydney would like to send you a great big thanks, for what you've done over the last two, three. I think it's going to go on for another week or two, because as we're going to see the numbers coming up, we're going to see the numbers, the auction numbers that are coming up. There's a bit of momentum. There's a bit of increasing numbers. So that shows you the confidence that the people are actually having, the agents are having. They're actually going through a lot of. Look, a lot of auctions prior to the Perrier effect, the gift that that's been given to the vendors, a lot of people were taking the properties off market well and truly before the day of the auction. If not by in some cases by as early as a week or two into the campaign, they were already out. But all of a sudden now they're holding on, and a lot of people were just simply putting up. A lot of agents were simply putting up auction campaigns or putting properties up for sale by auction for no other reason other than because if it gets sold during that campaign, obviously you lose you waive your right to a cooling off period. You're exchanging under auction conditions, which is basically you're waiving your right to a cooling off period, and that's how they were trying to snag have the buyers committed. So that they don't walk away, because obviously under a private treaty you've got 5 or 7, or depends, some you can negotiate up to 7 or even 10 days cooling off period, and it's when the market's going down, it's harder for a campaign to get restarted if if that sale falls over. So that's what they were doing. But so there was no other reason, and that their intentions were not to go to auction because of you know, the failures that you and I and others have been reporting on. But now all of a sudden, there's a lot of confidence, Martin.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm a little bit sceptical as to how long this so-called effect is going to continue. But, you know, when you actually do the math and work out what the property price uplift is by effectively amortizing the stamp duty over the, you know, over the future, right, you can put the price up a little bit, and that may be enough for people to be able to afford a little bit more. But the other side of it, Edwin, is that the borrowing power, in other words, how much you can borrow for a given set of income and expenditure parameters with rates where they are and continue to rise, continues to drop. So in my surveys, I'm still seeing people unable to reach for the mortgage that they could get previously. So it's sort of all counteracting each other. So I'll be interested to see whether this is just a flash in the pan or whether it really takes some legs.
Oh, look, you and I know. I think it's going to obviously dwindle down, but it's only until the next one.
Yeah, that's right. What will they do next? Yeah. 40-year mortgages, right? That's
quite a time. Can't even say exactly. I can't even say it's on the cards because it's not. It's gone from the cards to the oven.
Correct. No, that's right. That's actually back to it. And the other one, which I keep hearing, I've had four or five conversations this last couple of weeks, and in each case, the bank has said, "Well, look, do interest only, and then just grab a bunch of your superannuation, you know, when you retire, and just pay it off then."
Yeah. Look. Yeah, you're hearing all sorts of stories. I don't know whether this is true. I mean, it might be just, you know, a bit of hearsay. You know, banks are asking for kidneys and livers now as well, potentially. So,
well, I'll tell you what is true, and that is that some banks at least, are starting now to do modelling down at the postcode level and trying to actually understand what the real risk profiles are down at the postcode level. That's a new development because most of them were just not interested in that granularity previously. They'd sort of do these high level, you know, waffly top down things and say, no, nothing to see here. So it'll be interesting to see whether that also plays into this too. So anybody who thinks that this is all over and we're now on the upside for the next year or two, I think is probably kidding themselves, Edwin.
Yeah, it'll be yeah, like as you said, it'll be interesting to see. February is really when things kick off in 2023. But we're just keeping our eye on the numbers, and so far, again, the numbers aren't changing a great deal for Sydney. It's really steady as she goes. We should really be. As of last week or even previous week, things should have been slowing down. But yeah, you know, we called it. We said that agents were going to be busy till the end of the year. As to how busy they're going to be, we'll determine over to see what happens towards the end of this week and next week as well. I know that there's a lot of promoting auctions for the 10th. Which is generally, then after that, it really wanes down. But it's going to be a wait and see for the end of the year, you know, who's going to stay on market. And those that are obviously going to stay on market are closer towards the end of the year and, you know, the first, even going into the second week of January, they really want out. But yeah, Sydney's tracking. Steady as she goes. You can see the numbers about how we start on the Monday. We started last Monday, the 14th, 18,737. This Monday we start with 18,609. We've got about 100 or so difference. And then you've got, but the interesting thing is by the end of the week, last week, we ended up with over 19,000 properties on the market, which was consistent again with the previous week and the week before that. So we'll see how that goes. But I think as I was saying, Martin, the auction, the confidence in people, has made the numbers that are going to auction they've sort of increased. So that gives me a bit confidence that people are confident in the. But I guess we don't break it down in figures here, but I think there's a lot of greater confidence in between that 800 now to obviously the 1.3 million mark. There's greater confidence there. And this is where we're seeing a lot of movement. On the top end, yeah, your $3 million properties and above, right up to your $8, $9 million. Yeah, if anything, we're just seeing a really big downward shift there. And properties are faltering and not being picked up at all, because obviously it's a lot harder, as you say, to borrow, and your the serviceability at those levels are are huge. So so unless you're coming in with a really really big deposit or very 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 low LVR, obviously you've got to think twice before you get in there. But Melbourne's numbers, Martin, what have you got to say about Melbourne? That is interesting. That is not going down. That is on one of Elon Musk's rockets. It just continues to go north.
Well, the 14th was 25.831, and then on the 21st it was 26.170. I mean, that's pretty amazing. If you check in the on the Thursday, the 17th, 26.502. And by the way, Edwin, that's completely consistent with what I'm seeing in my survey. So I'm doing quite a lot of work at the moment. There's something weird going on in the greater Melbourne area with more properties coming on. In fact, I've never seen so many listings as I'm seeing at the moment. And, the growth rate is remarkable. It shouldn't be happening this time of year.
No, it shouldn't be more so with Melbourne. But then again, we've got an election coming up, haven't we?
So, well, maybe that's something to do with it. Maybe maybe people want to get out.
People want to get out before is it going to be his third term? Would that be right?
Yeah. Well, if it is his third term, he gets a statue of his own.
Yeah. Well,
you know the story about the statue, right? So basically, it was Jeff Kennett who put a little law in before he went into his third term, because he thought he was going to be re-elected. Anybody who gets three terms, they can have their own statue outside Spring Street, right? Well, he didn't. He lost unexpectedly, so he never got his own statue. But if we now the Premier return again for the third term, he'll get his own statue outside Spring Street.
Is Spring Street, is that where the Chinese embassy is? I'm just asking questions. Ask Robbie. Robbie will know.
That's true, but I suspect it's more to do with where the local parliament sits and stuff. But it's down the end of the
main street. Next to the Chinese embassy.
Yeah. But it is hilarious. That I think I love that story. That that Jeff Cannon brought this in and then didn't get one himself. So
yeah. Well, there you go. Everyone wants to be a hero and wants to live forever. They want to be immortalized.
Well, that's right. Now let's talk about Brisbane, because Brisbane is on the 14th it was 5865, and then if we go to the Thursday the 17th it was 5913. So there's a little bit of wobbling around, but and again, what I'm seeing in my surveys, Edwin, is quite a lot of price falls in and around Brisbane now, and up further towards the middle area of Queensland, sort of Sunshine Coast and above, as well as other areas too. There's some really weird things going on there too, I think, and some of the price falls in Greater Queensland are actually the most significant in the market at the moment.
Yeah, look, that is interesting. As they get older, they come on. I forgot to give you the number. The current numbers for Brisbane is the Brisbane region is 5829 as of today.
Okay, right. So the trend is Thursday's the peak, and then it drops back down, which is consistent across all the markets, right? Because you've got old listings and new listings coming and going, and all of those things. Interesting times, yeah.
Yeah, look, it is there, but there can't be any wackier than the conspiracy theories.
Well, let's go for that conspiracy theory. Is it a conspiracy theory? Conspiracies here.
No, there's no conspiracy there, Martin. There isn't. But the thing is, I put up a wager. If I said if that property Some did reply, some DM'd me what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to ride a horse down Blacktown Road, with a mankini and do all sorts of crazy things. But I won. I lived to fight another day, Martin. It got sold for $830,000. It was never going to sell at 720. It was never going to sell at 750. It was never going to sell below 800. But I put it out to Fair Trade New South Wales. There's another one there going up with the same agency, going up at 42 Braddon. That's also been guided at 7. No, it's guided a little bit higher. It's guided at 7:30. But if you look at the historical data of that, Martin, they were only trying to sell it months ago for over 900,000. So you tell me, are they going to let it go for 750? Are they going to let it go for 800? I don't think they're going to let it go. I put out a tweet there and say, I'm feeling lucky. I don't think they're going to sell it for less than 888,000.
Well, it's certainly possible. I never know with these. I mean, these prices are all over the place at the moment. I mean, I'm talking to an agent today who was saying, look, in some areas prices are still holding up very well, and then you get others where prices are significantly lower, and you can have two properties on the same street that look pretty similar, and one goes way above and one goes way below. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there as to where fair value is, I think, at the moment.
A lot of it, when you start really drilling down and looking at looking at it very, very closely, you realize why there are certain parts of, for example, today's a windy day, right? There are parts in Wentworth Falls, there are streets in Wentworth Falls where you'd have homes literally, selling for $1.5, $1.6 million. Further down the street, you could have the same style of home, the same, built by the same, builder, 30, 40, 50 years ago, identical, same block of land, everything, even on the same side of the street. But you'd be lucky to sell it for 900. And when you start talking to the agents and they start telling you, it says, on that side of the street, when the wind blows, everything's fine. Or further down the street, when the wind blows, you more than likely find your roof a few blocks down the road. So that's the sort of stuff that happens. So until you start looking at things granularly, like in detail, like you do with your reports, that's when you start finding out as to why you could be on one side of the road, where it creates a divide between two councils, and on one side of the street, you could build a duplex on a 600 square meter block. On the other side of the street, you can whistle Dixie, even if you have 950 square meters and a bigger frontage. The council isn't going to let you do jack all to that other than renovate the house. So this is the sort of stuff that people have got to get used to. And then, of course, there's also that emotion and ego as well that plays a part on the day. And so there's a lot of factors that contribute to those, Martin. So, but we start breaking it down bit by bit, and you get a fair idea as to why. And of course, there's the inclusions. There's the does it fall? Does it have the right falls in order? Is it a development block? Because is there an easement going through the property? All sorts of things play a part in why there's the disparity.
Well, I've got another theory for you. Another reason is the water views, right? In Blacktown.
Oh, the gift that keeps on giving, Martin. This is wacky. This is really, really wacky. So I had to go and see this property in Blacktown that they were advertising water views. And I'm sort of thinking, I can't recall seeing a lake around that area, around that, that pocket of Blacktown. I'm thinking, did they put the house on 50 meter stilts, and there's an elevator that goes up to the house, and therefore you can't see the water from up there. So I was looking in the area for a client anyway, with a client in Blacktown, I had to go and see it. It was interesting. This, look, the only thing that they missed out on this ad was the simple fact that they should have just said, look, they've got water views, but we've also got a potential jungle growing, a tropical environment, because there was so much moisture going into this teenager's retreat that there was rising damp and fungi growing inside the retreat. Apart from the fact that I don't believe it's council approved to sleep in there for more than a day, it's obviously marketed in a very ambiguous way that. They're not saying it's a granny flat. They're not saying it's a place where you can sleep for more, as I said, for more than a day. You could more or less call it a music room, a retreat, just one of these overnight. But the water view was interesting, because the water view was from the sliding doors of this retreat. The view was the fiberglass, the dilapidated fiberglass swimming pool that had no safety fence. That was the water view.
Yeah, really good. And I had to say, I quite chuckled on this one when it said sparkling modern bathroom boasting floor-to-ceiling glass tiles and bathtub. Well, I suppose you would expect to see a bathtub in the bathroom.
And bathtub. And you get a bathtub. That's the prize. That's like your chicken in England.
Yeah,
that bathtub is invaluable. If that bathtub was there, that would not be asking for $100,000 more than the comparable sale in the area. Yeah,
absolutely.
If that bathtub wasn't there, we'd go back to a normal sale.
Yeah, spot on. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, but there's one important message, I guess, that people should really be taking account of now, and that there is an unfortunate litany of businesses going belly up.
Yeah, look, I put in the wackier than a conspiracy theory, but this isn't really a conspiracy. This is nor is it wacky, but just put it there, because that's the wacky world that we're in at the moment. It's I get a report on a daily basis of the companies that are going in liquidation, or they've had liquidators appointed. And so forth, and the notifications, and when I opened up the email today and I saw this, I said, whoa, this is about three times as many that I've been getting on a Monday or every other day. It just hit me. And this goes back to what I was saying, to the conversation that I was having with my son, and the conversation that we were having earlier on with regards to the uncertainty of employment, the uncertainty of the private sector. Yeah, what's going to happen? Because things aren't going to get cheaper next year. Yeah, things aren't going to get cheaper. And as I said, there's a new. It hasn't been spoken about in mainstream media, but it will be soon, because people will cotton on. Generally, they cotton on to our conversations 3 to 6 weeks down the track. And that is the issues with China. It isn't going to help us in terms of the supply and supply chains. And if you're in that. In those company that's heavily reliant on base materials or base product in order to manufacture things here, finished goods like we are in one Joe's lockdown, we're so highly dependent on building materials to build. And to finish renovations and that. I mean, things are going to get more and more expensive. I mean, look, it wasn't too long ago where you could say that, just to put our viewers and our followers in the picture, it wasn't too long ago before you could say that even with in a high rise, it would cost anywhere between $320,000 to $360,000. That was the allocated building cost to a unit. In a complex, when you take everything into consideration, when you start the sharing the costs of the digging the basements of the formwork, of the concrete, of the common areas and everything else, you know, it would cost, say, 360. Having the conversation with my son, as I said, he's in a different section of the building, I mean, in estimating. And, you're saying, Dad, we're averaging, to build an apartment now, we're averaging around costings of around, $540,000 to $560,000 per apartment. So that's, and so then we got into the conversation. That is why, developers and builders really got to think twice before they jump into these projects. And if they can get out, and if they can obviously finish it because of the labor shortages and so forth. Material and labor shortages just make the prices skyrocket. And who's going to pay? So you got to pay $550,000 for just on average cost around Sydney. So because we're on Blacktown, let's think about Blacktown. So if it's going to cost you that much to build, then the cost of the land, let's say in Blacktown, you're probably paying around $150,000. That's $700,000. Then there's your GST on top of that. And see, theoretically, you're going to be paying close to and then there's the developers' margins and profits and so forth. So you're going to be paying close to $900,000 to build, to sell something off the plane, to start construction in Blacktown. Or pick any other suburb. There are some suburbs that you would say, "Yeah, I paid that off the plan." But when you're talking averages, that's what we're talking about. So it just doesn't make sense to build.
No, I agree. And the object lesson here is, if you are actually engaging with any people providing services into the building, construction, and ancillary services, you need to kick the tires very firmly, right, to make sure that they're still going to be there and they're still going to be able to do what you want them to do. What I'm hearing, actually, everyone, is quite a few who are now struggling with multiple projects half finished and not enough cash flow to be able to finish them. And they sort of knock on the door of the clients and say, "Can you give us a bit more money so we can do a bit more?" That's a bit concerning, right, because you can go on sort of handing over a bit of cash, hoping they'll do it more, but you may not still get to the end of the journey, because in some cases they're bouncing from multiple different jobs and are trying to sort of keep all the balls in the air. There are many close to the edge now. And with interest rates rising and with the other factors that we've touched on before, I think this is going to get really, really difficult in many areas in and around the place. And a lot of these small operators, single traders, small guys with a bobcat and van, that's their business. But they may not actually be able to cover the costs now because the cost of fuel is so high and everything else. I mean, they are close to the edge in so many cases. So be careful is what I think we were saying.
Yeah, and with a lot of these tradies, they're at the mercy of a lot of the bigger builders and the contractors. So the subcontractors, I know a lot of subcontractors, they're on 60, 90 day accounts. How the hell do you run a business? And one of them said to me, "Look, I'm thinking of taking on a government tender, he's got a good chance of getting it."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, but do you have enough cash flow? Do you have enough money in your kitty to bankroll your business for minimum, and I say minimum, 120 days?
Yep.
Say, "No, well..."
That's a really important question. And, of course, the other point is that the ATO now has amped up the frequency of the repayments, and, you had a bit of a holiday through COVID, but that's all gone now. So the tax man's still there knocking on the door.
Oh, look, they do. And in America, they've got guns now. Thank God we don't have guns.
I know.
They might issue them boomerangs.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, well, they just come back, so that may not be that helpful. But the serious point is, if you are actually engaging with traders or with subcontractors, or indeed, builders themselves, kick the tires really hard, because there are unfortunately some really uncomfortable stories there out there, and we're going to see more, I'm afraid. So it is important, isn't it, Edwin?
Oh, look, it is. It's going to take another 3 to 6 weeks for the mainstream media to start reporting as to what's really happening and how it's really going to affect what's happening in China. As we used to say, yeah, China sneezes, we catch the flu.
And just on that, I was talking to an insolvency practitioner who was very, very quiet over the last 18 months or so. Well, that's all turned around now. They've got more work that they can swallow. So there are always winners in the downturn, and the insolvency practitioner's day has come.
Look, that's so true. There's two firms, like you're saying, that went from one of them was in a practice in the city, and they took up about 150 square meters. And during COVID, they went down from 150 to just about 20 square meters, because they couldn't sustain it. They couldn't keep up. But now they're looking to grow again, as you said, and perhaps even beyond that. But there's going to be a lot of inventory. But also, it comes back to the pain of those that are going to be owed money. As I said, I really feel for a lot of the subbies, the subcontractors, and their workers, and because they get caught up in all this. And it's a wacky world. It's crazy what's going to happen up there. And unfortunately, I'm of the opinion with many industries. You know, things are going to get worse, and as you said, as we were saying earlier on, things have got to break before they can get better. And it seems like the governments, in some areas they're hell bent on holding on, but others they're pushing hard and fast to break not only the system, but break people's spirits and creating more havoc all around. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's crazy times, unfortunately, Edwin. Well, thank you once again, and thanks for staying up late past your bedtime, I think. But nevertheless, good show, and we'll do it all again next week at the normal time.
By all means. Ciao.
See ya. Take care.